Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay in the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So good evening, Misty. How are you?
Good evening, Bonnie. I'm wonderful. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I want to know if things are still hot in Florida.
Actually, yesterday it was like bathing suit at the beach hot because I was there. And today I had to wear a shirt and like sort of short, long pants to the beach today. So we've actually got some cool weather, but cool weather here is not what you call cool weather up there, so I'm sorry to say. So it's still not.
Right, cool weather in Florida, 70 degrees, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It's their winter. It happens over the weekend, and then it's gone. So we're having winter today. It'll be
you know what, Missy, I heard there's a lot of rain down there lately.
Yeah. Last week, I think, and the week before, it was nonstop. And it's usually not our rainy season, you know. We usually get a lot out of the summer. So, yes, there was lots and lots of rain, more than... Of course, it rained on the weekend just when everyone wanted it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's dry right now, so dry and cool.
Good.
Yeah. There's actually no humidity today, which was unbelievable for Florida.
Mm-hmm. So, Misty, we're coming to the end of another year.
Hard to believe.
Isn't it?
It's just so, wow, where did this year go to?
I don't know, but I've been telling some people that. I think it's because I'm getting older that it's going fast. You know, when I was younger, every day just kind of trudged by, and especially when
mm-hmm.
I had little children,
mm-hmm.
you know, it felt like an eternity each day.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've gotten older, now that I've hit that 60 mark, everything seems to be rushing through.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was seeing
my life path right in front of me.
I know. I always hate people say, oh, time goes by so fast when you get old. I thought, oh, that's such garbage. Let me tell you, it's not. Listen to your wise old, your wise elders, because it does. Time travels much faster. And it may be because we're not miserable now, Bonnie. Who knows? Maybe that's why time travels so fast.
Maybe. But, you know, I just want to say that next week we're not going to be here because it's Christmas Day and we're giving ourselves a vacation day that day. And we still will have support chat on at 9 o'clock next Sunday night for those people who do need the support. I will be there for the chat room. And, you know, like I said, I know that Christmas is a really tough time for many of our women. And tonight we're going to be discussing some of those, you know, tips on how to make it not quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
To maybe alleviate a little bit of that, you know, horror of thinking about the holidays. But I know certainly for straight wives, this is a really tough time because of the fact that it is so family-oriented. And if you're just getting out of a marriage or you're still in a marriage or you're unhappy in your marriage, no matter what the case is, if you're listening to the show, we know there are a lot of obstacles that you have to overcome around this time of the year. And, you know, we're going to have a look back, you know, in the next couple of weeks, on the year back that we've had here on our show, we've had some really wonderful guests in retrospect, haven't we, Misty?
We have had some wonderful people. It's been such a great opportunity to meet so many different people with different resources, different opinions, different ideas that have all contributed to Straight Wives Blog Talk Radio. It's been an amazing year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had just some of the guests that we've had on. Of course, we've had Patsy Ray Dawson, who will be joining me in Texas in March for anybody who might be listening who want to join us. Also, you know, another wonderful woman who I'm going to be meeting in person and live is Wendy from our Wendy's List. Wendy lives in that area, so she'll be there. And many people, you know, have been inspired by the words of Wendy through my newsletters and being on our show. Wendy also contributed to Straight Wives Shattered Lives Part 2. And we're expecting, like I say, some really exciting things to happen that weekend. So that's the weekend of March 3rd and 4th in Houston, Texas. If you're interested in joining us for a really healing weekend, please write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you information and details, and I'd love to meet you. And I'm making it early in the season because I know if you think Florida's hot, Texas is really bad. And I'm not really good in the heat, so we're going at the beginning of the summer season in Texas, which is the beginning of March. But Patsy's been our guest, you know, a number of times And I think, you know, as a Christian woman, she's really opened people's eyes. And I think you can really address that, Misty, because you come from a Christian background. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
I will talk about that a little bit. She does, of course, I'm not going to even try to step from her shoes because she does a much better job. She's much more well-versed in specific verses, which I like that, that she can do that. She can quote that easily and fast. I won't even try to do that. I'll just give a general background. Growing up in a Christian background, I didn't want to blame the church, but it was a huge reason of why I stayed married for so long. Stayed in an abusive relationship for 10 years too many. I was married for approximately 10 years. So it was horrible, and I kept thinking, you know, I cannot get divorced. If I get divorced, I'll go to hell because I have no reason to get divorced. Many Christian churches do, you know, tell you not to get divorced unless there's been adultery or something by one of the spouses, and then they, you know, most of them want you to repair that marriage instead of divorce. Well, when you're dealing with a gay husband, in my opinion and my experience, there's no repair. It's broken. It's a broken marriage before it even gets started. It's a broken relationship. It turns into a broken marriage the day you say I do. So it was just very difficult, and I didn't know why it was so difficult. I was so naive. I was very young and naive, and I kept thinking, laying awake at night, God, why is this so difficult? What's wrong? What can I change? What am I doing wrong? So, of course, in those 10 years, I internalized everything and blamed most of it on myself while I danced inside the circle of crazy, as I call it. But the getting back to different religions, and I'm not going to throw any church, any religion underneath the bus because I still have my Christian beliefs and roots. I still greatly believe in God. And what I did that helped me, and maybe this could be a solution for others, I honored my roots, my Christian beliefs, and I just had to sit out and develop my own relationship with God. I sat down with myself. I talked to people that were supportive and that made sense to me, not people that were trying to argue with me about something or tell me how I was wrong, tell me how I was hell-bound. I already felt bad enough being in the marriage I was in. I didn't need someone to put more nails into my coffin, so to speak. So what I did, I sat down and I developed my own relationship. I think it's sad because I was taught that pretty much you go through others to get to God. I think many religions teach that. So finally I decided, well, you know, I have a voice, I have a mind, I have a heart, I have a soul, so why can't I make my own direct connection? And I sat down and I did that. I worked towards that. It wasn't easy. It was a little awkward at first. But I did sit down, you know, I started out with prayer. That was one thing. Little by little, I became stronger. And it was my own belief and my own relationship that I was able to turn things around. I knew the marriage was beyond repair. It was completely beyond repair. I just didn't know what to do with it at that point because I had so much guilt inside of me for wanting a divorce, not wanting the marriage to make it or try to even mend it. So once I developed that relationship and realized, you know, I was dealing with not only a gay, you know, ex-husband, but I was dealing with someone that was very abusive. And that's not happiness. I truly believe that God wants us to be happy. I truly believe that I made a bad choice getting married, but nonetheless, I made it. And it's okay. I'm okay with my past, and I'm okay with God. I feel very connected to God today. I have a better relationship than I've ever had before, and it's wonderful. I know I did what was right. I know I followed through. I'm the one that filed for divorce, and which is a big no-no in many Christian churches. I did. I set forth. I filed for divorce same day. I got domestic violence orders and emergency protection orders, all those things, because I was also just dealing with domestic violence. But, you know, looking back, I had many opportunities to get out. I was living in fear and guilt, and a lot of fear of God, a lot of fear of what would happen to me if I divorced. And I look back now, I had so many opportunities that I truly think it was divine interventions that I just passed up. I looked over where I could have gotten out. I just didn't look to see it. And I think sometimes we blind ourselves with denial so much. We don't look for those opportunities. We don't look for those nudgings. We don't look for those, you know, those to develop our own relationship with God or to find that loving version of God that protects us, loves us, and heals us. I don't think that some churches stress that enough. And I found that version of my own, the God that loves me, helps me, heals me, protects me, and I got out. And, you know, the only thing I will, without going on too much, I will say it was divine intervention at that point because I was so lost and confused. And it worked. I'm out. I'm alive today. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be who I am today, and it's wonderful to be my authentic self, which I think I think I'm following the path of God now. That's my opinion, and it's just wonderful. And I encourage people, you know, be careful when you find people that tell you to try to put something back together that's so broken, like a gay straight marriage, because number one, how well versed are they in the situation? Number two, are they teaching from a fearful God or a loving God? And I think those are two very important things to look at. And follow your heart. You know, you can't, if you're going to stay in a broken marriage, you're going to have a broken life. You have a broken heart. I mean, everything's going to be broken. You're not living towards the greatness that God has for you, and that's my opinion. And I think now I'm living for and striving for the greatness God has for me. I would have never made it being married to my ex-husband. That just wasn't
well, what. Well, I think that sounds really good, Misty. And the problem is that a lot of people can't think logically because of their Christian beliefs. Thankfully, you were able to. And you waited, measured, and you prayed on it, and you realized that marriage was the wrong marriage to be in because it's not really what a marriage should be. But that's why I was so glad that we found Patsy, right? And also, you know, Deborah from Florida, from the, you know, with her group, really, her ministry is really with women who are minority women and Caribbean women.
Right.
Because they have different issues as far as cultural norms and cultural values. And they're at South Florida, you know, South Florida Connects, sfconnects.com for Deborah's website. And she was a wonderful new addition to have in our, you know, network also. Because minority women have totally different issues as well, in addition to the ones that we have. And, you know, a lot of them have very strong religious beliefs, you know, and their lives are really revolving around the church. And they're not getting the answers that they really need and the support they need to leave these marriages. So I think
and
it's great.
And that's why I say, you know, look for that person that's going to help you with the loving version of God, not the fear-based. You know, fear-based meaning telling you that your life is, you know, you need to go back, you need to fix this marriage. Because truth of the matter is, I have yet to meet the first straight wife that hasn't tried everything in the world to fix her marriage. You know, I mean, they've tried everything. By the time they go to that spiritual counseling or support, they've tried it all. You know, usually they have tried it all. And, you know, it's just so hard and just so, it just beats them further down when they go to get that counseling. We'll go back and make it work. I mean, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's just horrible. It's so hard to make something like that work, and it's not, that's not your greatness when you do that. I think you're getting farther away. You're running away from your greatness when you do that because you're going back into something broken beyond repair.
And I think that we've also been really fortunate to have some really wonderful gay men as our supporters also.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, not all gay men agree with me. Some of them really resent what I have to say. Those are usually the men who want to have their cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the truth of the matter is that this is not the way that marriage is meant to be.
Mm-mm.
And, for instance, we had, you know, Rick Clemens with us earlier this year. He's a coach, and he's also on my website. And Angelo Pizzuto, who's a therapist in Florida, wonderful guest. And he has a book, Straight Acting, which is really a wonderful book as far as letting, you know, gay men know themselves how to come to terms with themselves, because many of them suffer very much in these marriages.
Oh, they do. Absolutely.
And I think that we all agree that in almost all cases, when gay men would marry us, you know, it's because they really do love us.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really hoping against hope that loving us enough will take away those gay feelings, but of course they don't.
No, they don't.
So, you know, the bottom line is that so many years are lost and, you know, so much hurt goes on for both parties.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you know, men, like I said, I really believe in my heart that they just didn't understand their homosexuality when they got married. They really hoped it would go away, right?
Yeah, it absolutely. It's damaging to both sides. Even though my past marriage was married to a gay man, there was also a lot of domestic violence involved, which does not necessarily go together. That's just the luck of the draw I had with his personality of the person that I married. But, you know, looking back, I'm quite sure he thought when he asked me to marry him that it could change things for him. I'm quite sure he wanted to change things. I'm quite sure.
I think every gay man who gets married wants to change it. Just about every man. I'm not saying every man, but most of them do. Most of them are hoping that if they love us enough, you know, that'll happen. And then when it doesn't, then they, unfortunately, in many cases, throw it back at us. Well, I thought you were going to love me enough, or I was going to love you enough that these feelings would change, and they didn't. And then they blame us in many cases.
Right. Yeah, we seem to be the obstacle in their way to their life, and we were the thing that was, we were the salvation in the beginning that was going to keep them from being gay, you know, or act on it, and then we become the obstacle. When we become the obstacle, the tables seem to turn.
And, you know, that's why I say it's so important to have different points of view on the show, you know, so we can hear all points of view, and not because we're going to agree with them necessarily, but it's good to just have an understanding on where people's minds are thinking, and so that women shouldn't feel that they've ever done anything wrong in their marriages except try to be the best wife possible. And the men that we have coming on here have been very open and candid about it, and I really do appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Very brave to come on a show for women and a show for straight women. Very admire the men that's been on here very much.
Mm-hmm. And like I say, we've had some wonderful women guests on also.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank Carol from the Straight Wives Network. She's going to be joining us again in the spring. Gloria Brain, who's a sex, you know, therapist, to try to explain to women why sex is an essential part of marriage. I think that women give up on their sexuality when they're married to a gay man because they're, you know, feeling so sexually rejected.
Right.
If you really put in perspective the importance of having sex in a relationship. Right?
Absolutely. I thought she did a wonderful job explaining that, how that it's, I mean, we're built by design. That's part of what a marriage is about. And then we sell ourselves short and we settle for less. And that's not how it should be.
And so many women just give up on their sexuality. And it
Absolutely.
Is very embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're denying part of who you are. By nature, that's how you're designed, and you're denying that. It's not healthy in the long run. It's not a healthy situation.
And we had some of our wonderful women on this year who were very instrumental in getting our new book out, Straight Wives, Shattered Lives, Part 2. I know that Wendy came on and told her story, and also Dolly, our friend in Washington, also came on and told her terrible story. And Dolly's story really hit home for a lot of people because Dolly's story was about, you know, being married to somebody in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that don't ask, don't tell policy, how hard it is, you know, for these men
Absolutely.
To live an honest life. And they're certainly not going to, you know, it's a little better today, a little more, you know, don't ask, don't tell is kind of, you know, going away. But, you know, in the past it's been impossible to be part of the military and not live a straight life. So, you know, Dolly told her story that a lot of women could connect to. We also had that wonderful group from Orange County from, you know, AIDS prevention.
Yeah.
You know,
it's great.
So important, right, about sexually transmitted diseases for women.
Uh-huh.
So we've also had our friend Maggie on our show a number of times giving hints for women on how to catch their husbands.
Uh-huh. She's their Investigative advisor.
Mm-hmm. Investigative advisor is a really good name for Maggie because he's really great at that. And like I say, we have some wonderful men who write to us and who listen to us. In fact, I'd like to shout out to my friend Steve. He's always listening to our broadcast and giving us really wonderful positive feedback. Steve was a gay husband, former husband who's gay. And, you know, also Rick and some other, you know, really wonderful men who also just got caught up in a bad trap and really have tried to move on and make it right. So we thank all of you for your support and your kind words. One of the things I wanted to do tonight was to go back through some of my newsletters from the past 10 years or 11 years and talk about, you know, how and read some holiday kinds of passages. And I think that's really important for women to know that they're making a connection and everything that they're feeling, you know, is absolutely right. So I'm going to read a couple of excerpts. And this one's back from December 2001. So that's a long time ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at nearly 11 years ago.
Wow.
And this was in my issue number 10. It was in my first year of writing the newsletters. And so many women have really, you know, depended on these newsletters every month to give them the support they need getting through the marriages. So if you're not getting my newsletter and you would like to get it, just let me know at bombk@aol.com. Also, if you would like to call in and give us any of your comments or feedback, we're happy to hear from you. I'm going to give you the call-in number for guests. It's area code 646-716-4893. And I'll repeat that one more time, area code 646-716-4893. So this one was called There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays. And it says, let me first wish all of my readers a happy holiday season. Well, how about a peaceful holiday season? I think that expecting a happy holiday may make you start to think that you're supposed to be happy, when in fact, many of you reading this are going through your own heavy-duty pain. When I was married to my gay husband, I usually found holidays to be very depressing. People appeared so happy wherever I went, all wrapped up in a mystical holiday spirit. Inwardly, I felt like a knife was cutting me because I was so desperately wanted what I thought everyone else had, namely a loving spouse and happy family. I went through the holidays very mechanically doing all the right things, but somehow I always felt disappointed when they were over. My husband made sure to surround us with lots of people in order to take the focus off of us as a couple. Holidays meant that we were home, alone, a definite no-no. My husband did his best to make sure that his numerous friends and family members would spill into our home. He called as many as possible to invite them over with promises of good food that I would have to prepare and great conversation that he would monopolize. There was too much danger in having a long period of quiet time together. That would mean that I might make a demand in his head or suggestion in my head for intimacy. It became all too much of a familiar pattern. Surround us with lots of people I couldn't care less about, and in fact felt irritated by, to avoid my desperate pleas for affection, intimacy, and sex. And on those rare days when the people just couldn't make it due to snow blizzards or other plans, you could be sure that was a day when an argument would ensue. The fight didn't have to be over anything of importance. It just had to start and then build itself into a mountain. I'm sure that my husband realized that a molehill would have never stopped me from making a suggestion. But once things escalated into a mountain, they were too high to climb and usually left me sleeping on a couch or not sleeping at all while I cried. Overdramatic? I don't think so. When I recall some of the absurdities that went on in our marriage that I couldn't understand to finally make sense. After speaking with thousands of women, this is often an emerging pattern. After it happens enough times, you retreat and take a giant step backwards. You know the drill. Ask for something that your husband doesn't want you to ask for long enough, and you'll just stop asking. Excuse me, just one second. I just lost my place. Sorry about that. Well, while I'm finding it, Misty, let me just find it for 1 second here.
Okay. Take your phone.
Yeah. Thanks. In fact, you can add some comments as I'm going along here.
Okay.
Okay.
Back
to where it was. I don't know how that happened. So I really do apologize to our listeners for that. Okay. So somehow the fantasies have played over and over in my head throughout the youth, adolescence, and early adulthood about home of the holidays just never happened. That's why I became conditioned after the first few holidays not to get excited, not to see the beauty, not to feel the spirit, and most importantly, not to get my hopes up. That went for every holiday. I had to reshuffle my way of thinking about the song, There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays. I definitely knew they were not talking about my home. And so, my friends, if your holidays don't meet up to your expectations of what they are supposed to be, don't feel that it's you. It's not. It's your situation. And if you are not in your marriage, don't think that those feelings go away quickly. The memories of when you were in your marriage can linger on for many years to come. The good news is the feeling of excitement can return in time. If you meet your soulmate at a future point, you will understand the joy of watching the Big Apple fall down at midnight while he holds you close to him and starts the fireworks at midnight to celebrate your future year together. You'll be able to turn off the television after the third verse of Auld Lang Syne and make your own music. And even if you spend the night alone until you meet your soulmate, or if you never meet him, it won't hurt nearly as much as spending it with someone who makes you feel as if you're the person who takes the joy out of the holiday because you're always hoping for something that he is not willing or able to give you. So what did you think about that, Misty?
I think it's so true. I think you just described my story and millions of other stories out there of women married to gay men. The holidays were horrible. And the sad part is every year I would hope for them to be better. All of them will be better this year. And they were not. Most oftentimes they would become worse. There would be more tactics, more antics, more things going on, you know. My ex-husband, his way of dealing with the holidays was to have us on the road. Our families lived about 3 to 4 hours apart. We were from the same area, and his tactics were, okay, we'll be on the road. I'm going to stay at my parents, you stay at your parents, because they live an hour apart, and that would take too much time away from us spending time with their family. So, I mean, he just designed the whole holiday, and it's just really sad looking back now that I fell for it. And I thought it was rather strange that we didn't spend much of that together, but, you know, that was his manipulation. That's how he controlled the situation.
It seems like they're always trying to find a way away from us, not to be with us, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I remember family members saying, oh, where's your husband at the time, you know, and he's with his family. Oh, well, this is a very strange question. He would never come around my family for holidays either. So, you know, it was really strange. And holidays were always, they were horrible. And, you know, and only because, you know, holidays are such a great marketing strategy for many companies, corporations that sell things. And you look at the TV and everyone's happy. People are getting married. There's jewelry commercials. Someone's getting engaged. Someone's getting an anniversary ring. I mean, it's very centered around jewelry and couples, you know, and you know, food, meals, things like that, and gifts, you know, buying your loved one gifts. So it's just,
yeah, but I'm telling you this, Misty, but that's not like just a commercial. That's reality for a lot of people.
It is. Well, you know, when you're not married to a gay man, it can be.
Exactly what I mean. Exactly.
So, you know, but when you're married to a gay man, you're looking at these commercials, it's just your misery, you know, because you're expecting something that they cannot give. They cannot give their love to you the way you need it. And it's the bottom line. It's the love that you need, the love and the intimacy that you need. You can't get it. And that's the part that you just keep searching for. And holidays, that's the time of year that I think is just a horrible time. It's even worse when you're with a gay husband because, going back to what I said, you cannot get what you need from them as a wife, as a couple. You're not going to get it. And it's really sad. And the intensity of that sadness arises because of all the marketing, because you see all the couples and you just see people happy together. You see families together. So it's very difficult. It's a horrible time of the year when you're going through that type of situation.
Well, this is the article from the following year. This is December 2002. And it says, well, there's no place like home for the holidays, as the song goes. But then again, chances are the person who wrote that song didn't have a gay husband. This is the time of year that hurts the most when you're living with a gay husband, whether he be in the closet, out of the closet, claiming to be bisexual, or promising he'll never act on it. It doesn't matter what the status is when the situation comes down to the same bottom line. There's no way to feel happy when your heart is breaking and your life is always tilting over the wrong way. The season between Thanksgiving and Christmas is depressing for many people for various reasons. But for us, there is a special sadness because we know the joys that were meant for us just aren't happening, nor will they be happening in the future when with the men we married. We have to face a whole new set of hopes and dreams on our own with someone or with someone else. Some of you are still stuck in the same muck as you were last year during this holiday season, and to you, I am sorry. I'm sorry because I know that no matter how much decking up your halls with boughs of holly you do to create an illusion, there's no action happening under the mistletoe with your husband. Or shall I say, there's no action happening with you with your husband under the hanging plant. If you're waiting for some action or some passion, don't bother wasting your time standing paralyzed with hope under a clump of green hanging from your ceiling. What's even worse is that the start of the holiday season seems to have moved back a month this year. I heard those holiday carols start playing as soon as Halloween was over. That gives us an extra 4 weeks to have to be reminded of the cheer of the season, which doesn't belong to us. Why are these days worse than any other time of the year? Because this is a time when you are forced to get together with other family members and friends and put on a happy face, as the saying goes. It's your time to be on stage with one of your great performances. You need to convince everyone around you that life is really wonderful, just like that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. You don't want to ruin everybody else's holiday just because yours has been ruined. This wouldn't be fair, would it? This performance has to be of Academy Award caliber because there are lots of people out there that you need to fool, including coworkers, friends, family members, children, and sometimes, and most importantly, yourself. I say yourself because sometimes you are the most important person whom you need to fool. If you really had to face your feelings while going through this time of year, you'd be popping those antidepressants by the handful. In order to survive the holiday season of joy, we put our emotions into a different psychological mindset. We suppress our feelings of emptiness and fill our lives with busy work to keep us running and doing, never allowing ourselves the luxury of time to think. Thinking would be counterproductive to the holiday spirit. We look around us to grab onto anything and everything that will make us feel grateful for what we have to do in life instead of what we don't have. We stare at those beautiful creations our husbands have helped us create, namely our children. How many times do I hear women say, something good came out of my marriage, my children? Almost all women with children tell me that, and it's true. All of us who have children look at this as a pot of gold at the end of the dark storm where there's really not a rainbow. This is not to negate the fact that you have these treasures, but they certainly aren't growing up with the ideal family that you envisioned when they were born. But not to be a humbug, during these happy days, you create a winter wonderland of family unity, or shall I say, family fantasy. And some of your husbands live up to the fantasy during these heartfelt holidays. They are on good behavior. They know that Santa Claus is coming to town, and there's something magical about this time of year, even if you are a Grinch or a Grouch for the other 11 months. Most of your husbands will step up to the plate for the holly jolly holidays. They do their husbandly duties for the public, putting on the Ritz, so to speak. Everyone will think that you're a happy, loving family. Of course, in private, don't expect that role to carry over. The one where they do their husbandly duties. That would really be pushing your luck. The most important part of the holiday is the illusion of magic that is created. Everyone is on his best behavior. Your gay husbands are trying their best to do the family thing the right way. Those yearly traditions that they grew up with in their own family seem to surface around late November and linger until January 2nd or so. It confuses us like hell. Just when we thought there was no hope for the future, this kinder, gentle, more loving husband pops up. reminding you of the days when you thought both of you were in love and your marriage would live happily ever after. And just as you're mentally being dragged into this annual false sense of hope, boom, the new year arrives and it's over. Things are back to abnormal. Sad, isn't it? So if you're still stuck in a dark space, namely your marriage to your gay husband, try not to set yourself up for the big drop down. Face the season with reality. Don't let misplaced kindness fool you. Enjoy it while it's there, just to give you some peace in your ongoing storm, but don't delude yourself that this is forever. It's not, not by a long shot. It's only the temporary holiday spirit of love that is floating in the air. It will be blown away with a strong gust before you know it. In spite of it, have a peaceful holiday and surround yourself with the people who love you the most during these difficult days. And that was from a year later.
So sad, but so true. Some of it was very humorous because I'm looking back on it. If I was in it, I'd probably be crying at this point because it was so true and hit so deeply and truly. It is, you know, the holidays can be horrible. Like, you know, the magic may come in, and you may act your way through it, but then guess what? It's just going to all fall through again.
And do you think a lot of men, though, do change their behavior temporarily during the holidays?
I think a lot do because there's several reasons. One is a lot of times holidays are spent around extended families, and most of these men do not want their cover blown. And the women are feeling terrible just, you know, because if they've discovered their husband is gay, that's a horrible thing to discover. So, you know, I think sometimes they do come in and they do try to act nice, or they do try to maybe think things, maybe they're even thinking things can be patched up, things could be better, because they want to be on best behavior around friends and family, because they don't want those people to know, usually. Usually they're not ready to be out. So I think it's very self-serving. I don't think all men do that, but I think it can be very self-serving, and they can be nice around the holidays for things like that. I think holidays bring out the worst in some people as well. I've heard those stories as well where they just get so stressed of trying to hide it all that they go away, you know, and they go away on a trip or avoid family at all costs. So, you know, people can do a lot, make all sorts of different decisions that don't seem quite right or quite fair, but that's the way it goes.
Guess what my busiest time of the year is with our women?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said, guess what month is my busiest time of year with our women?
I would think this month. I would think December.
No, it's January.
Oh, yeah. What am I thinking? I'm not even thinking, yeah, the new year. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because it seems like there's a large number of men who come out to their wives in January.
Yeah.
And I
forgot that. Absolutely. They want to begin their lives, and the women are lost, you know.
Well, a lot of times they don't want to come out, so they tell me, during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because they don't want their children to always associate, you know, the holidays with the disastrous family.
Yeah.
So,
and
a lot of times the men want to get to the holidays. No, there's never a good time, but they feel there's a better time than others.
Yes, yeah, I agree with that. There can be better times than others, but there's never a good time.
No, but that's why I say I'm expecting a whole new slew of women to be contacting me in January. And that's just the reality of what happens every year. Every January, it's amazing. It's like, you know, 4 or 5 times the normal number of women who contact me each week.
Yeah. I get a lot of requests in January as well. But mine's on the other side. Mine are the women that have, you know, survived the holidays, and most of them are in divorce recovery. So, you know, they want to start anew. They're trying to rediscover themselves and have committed to doing so.
Well, here's the one for the following year. This is from 2003. It's called Act 2, Scene 3. Quite frequently, women write to me about their lack of viable skills when it comes to securing a job so they can get financial independence. I always look for transferable skills that would be a good match, such as caretaker, nurse, detective, etc. How did I miss the most obvious one, namely actress? Every holiday season, wives of gay men have to play their Oscar award-winning role of happy wife in front of the crowd of hundreds. Of course, there is no golden statue at the end of the season like their movie counterparts. Just 1 second. Again, I apologize. You know, I hit the wrong button, and that's where I ended
Uh-oh.
Up here.
The wrong button again.
I know.
It's going to get you in trouble every time when you hit those wrong buttons.
You know, it's very annoying to me, especially. Just give me 1 second, and I'll be back to where it is. 2005. Well, anyway, this column was about being an actress in your own, you know, but it's so true. Don't you find it that way, Misty, that, you know, women, I think, are the best actresses in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
of the fact that when you're around all those people, you know, you don't want everybody else, you know, feeling bad for you, right?
Right. I was around all kinds of people during the holidays, and even not during the holidays, and my closest friends did not know what was going on with me. They all thought I lived the great life. They
mm-hmm.
adored my ex-husband. Oh, you're so lucky. He does this, he does that, and all on the inside, I'm just melting on the inside, thinking, if you only knew what goes on behind the closed door, you know. So often we never tell anyone what goes on. We just go along with it, you know, and we are great actresses. Because of that, we want to live that great American dream, that wonderful marriage, and it's not. I hid and covered up so many things, and my closest friends never even knew.
How about your family? Did they know?
No. My family didn't know until I had a wonderful cousin that you have to have a support system when you go through with a divorce. I'm just adamant about that. Whether it be professional, a personal friend, someone that is very strong. And I'm lucky to have this person that is a family member because she is very strong. And usually, I mean, I highly recommend professional people because it's rare to find someone as strong as my dear cousin that did help me through this. She was my support system because every time I would go back and try to change and say, you know, maybe this will just work, maybe I can make it work, she was my reality check. She'd say, she would literally look at me and she'd say, are you crazy? He's mean and he's gay. How are you going to fix that? Yeah, so she was my reality. And she knew about, probably maybe up to a month before I got divorced. But my family did not know anything. I told them the night before I filed for divorce. They were the second people I told. My cousin was the first person because she helped me through it. Yeah, it was such a horrible burden. I can't even stress what a hard, hard burden it was to carry that burden. And once I told them, they were very supportive. You know, Kip, I was so afraid because of the church situation, the religious situation. I thought, you know, they're gonna look down on me because here my parents have been married, oh my goodness, 40-some years now. And at the time, they'd been married, you know, like 30-some years. And I'm thinking, wow, they're just going to be so disappointed in me for getting married and going through divorce. And they were not. They were very extraordinarily supportive. And, you know, and it just lifted such a huge burden when I finally did tell them. Because it's a huge burden to carry around. And that's why you need that professional support. You know, I'm so strong for that now. And I didn't know that. I didn't know who to go to.
Well, back then there probably was nobody to.
Well, there was, you know, I couldn't sit down at Google. You know, I mean, there was, I think Google may have existed back then, and I'm sure it was quite small, whatever it was. You know, there just was, the internet wasn't so highly used at the time. It was just starting out. It was in an infancy stage, and I didn't know that much about it. And, you know, therapist. I didn't have anyone that I knew of that knew anything about gay straight marriages. I literally thought I was the only person going through that. And it was such a horrible burden. And then I told my parents, but not before. And that helped. That was a huge relief.
Well, I found the column again, so I'll go back to the actress.
Okay.
Every holiday season, wives of gay men have to play their Oscar award-winning role of happy wife. The holiday season is a long stretch that starts at Thanksgiving and continues until Valentine's Day. Between those two points, we begin the family and love ordeal. Thanksgiving is the beginning, followed by Christmas, New Year's, and finally ending on Valentine's Day in February. We are also relieved to have the President's birthday as a holiday in February because by then, all of our emotional horror of the holiday season is over. Imagine thinking that Washington and Lincoln can actually neutralize and balance out life because after 3 months of family celebrating family unity and love, we no longer have to cringe when we hear the word holiday. The touchy-feely ones are over, and once again, we have not been touched or felt. And in fact, most of us have been living with a Novocaine kind of numbness so that we can protect ourselves from crying at any given moment because we are hurting. The holiday season is such a difficult time for straight wives because it is an upfront in-your-face reminder of what life was supposed to be like but never became. Or if it was, it's over years because the homosexuality has joined into your previously happy union or what you were hoping would be your happy union. It's almost like having Scrooge find his way into your husband's body and head. When you want a display of affection and emotion, he's saying, bah humbug. To this I say, ho, ho, no, no more. You see, even though you may be feeling the pain of the holiday season, it could be your last year to suffer this way. Believe it or not, you can make it your New Year's resolution to be free by next year, free of the pressures and strain of living a lie. Free of the constant questioning of what you can do to make life better with the man who wants to make his life better. Free of the mental torture from the mind games your husband plays so well with you, trying to make you start believing that you are losing your mind and it's just your imagination running away with you while he's running around with men. Free of earning your professional detective license while snooping around in a relationship that is supposed to be based on honesty and truth. Free to go to bed at night and feel good about waking up in the morning. Why? Because waking up in bed at night, because waking up alone and having peace of mind is always better than waking up next to someone who really doesn't want to be with you and is making you miserable because he feels you are trapping him. You see, way beyond this being a holiday season of family and love, it's a holiday season of hope, a time to make resolutions that will help you become healthy and happy. Now, I know some people hate cliches, but this one really catches the essence of the holiday, namely, hope, spring, eternal. This little ditty kind of coincides with my own personal philosophy, namely, each new day offers the opportunity to waking up and changing your life. I actually did it, and I never look back and regret it. My marriage was doomed. I could have spent 10, 15, or 25 more years of wasting my life with a man who could only make me miserable. But a little bird in my head that became a choir of canaries sang to me, don't do it. Don't give up one more year of precious time to a debilitating situation. Look, I know there are women who are now free who are reading my letter, newsletter. You write to me all the time. I'd appreciate it if you could write to share your new life with my other readers who are still trapped to give them hope. Hope for the new year. Hope for a new life. Hope for happiness. Hope for sanity. Please write to me, and I'll be happy to publish your letters. That was from 2003.
Wow.
So I think, like, you know, it's kind of like a running thing here.
Yeah, I think it is.
A message that, you know, even though these are the holidays, they're very, you know, like I say, lonely times. Here's one from January that came out, you know, January 2004. It says, some thoughts for the New Year. I want to wish a happy New Year to all my readers. I'm soon going into my fourth year of this newsletter, and it's amazing that over 5,000 people from around the world are reading my words each month, looking for encouragement. It's not easy to come up with new ideas month after month on the same topic or subject, but thankfully something or someone always comes to the rescue with some inspirational thought. This month, during one of my twice-week support chats, my dear friend Cindy really made me think about something I wanted to share with you. Cindy is a wonderful woman with a child who lives in an unhappy marriage like so many of you. Cindy is not looking to make excuses for staying in her marriage. She is honestly caught between two points trying to get through the day so she can move ahead. I find that most of the women who are stuck in the muck are living with limbo men who won't confess their sexuality. Or if they do drop a hint of honesty, quickly revoke it and try to make their wives think that they were hallucinating or as they often sling the word, crazy. Cindy's situation is typical of so many of the women I counsel and advise. I see women drag on for years because they just don't believe they can get out of their unfulfilling marriages. That's why I'm always happy to hear from those whom I throw a lifeline right to me saying that their lives are now saved and they are back in the land of sanity. The women who found they were living in the valley of the shadow of death somehow managed to muster up the strength when they least expected and find themselves crossing over to the land of the living. Sometimes it happens quickly, other times it takes years, but eventually those who want to leave find a way to leave. I never make a judgment on those who want to leave but can't. No two women are the same, and no two situations are exactly the same. I'm lucky because almost all of the women who come to me know they can't live forever in a mentally repulsive situation. They just need a lifeline to hang on to until the right moment comes. It makes me think about Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. Dorothy found herself in a strange land and did her best to adjust to the situation. She made some new friends in the Scarecrow, Lion, and Tin Man, growing quite fond of them through her travels. And yet, she knew that she was in a world that wasn't hers. In spite of her status of hero for killing the Wicked Witch, she still wanted to go home. She found herself at the door of the wizard, asking him to send her home. After being promised that her wish would be granted after she killed the remaining Wicked Witch, she faced numerous dangers, knowing that, in the end, her efforts would set her free. Dorothy was so distraught when the wizard pulled out his balloon without her on board. Then Glenda, the Good Witch, appeared. She told Dorothy to stop crying because she could go home. All she had to do was click her ruby's shoes and say, "I want to go home, I want to go home." You see, Dorothy had in her own power to get there if only she wanted it enough. And all of you in pain have the same power. If you say it long enough and believe it, it can happen. It may take more than clicking your heels, but you have the inner strength to take yourself out of your space and move to a new place. Maybe it won't be today, but maybe tomorrow, or maybe the next week, month, or year. The important thing is not to lose sight of where you want to be. Focus and plan, and you will get there. Keep repeating Dorothy's mantra with a slight modification. I don't want to be in this home. I don't want to be in this home. Happiness is out there waiting for you. Another one of my support group members, Barbara, wrote me a letter last week. Barbara hasn't been joining us lately because she feels very hopeless and depressed. When Barbara would chat with us, she would knew she wasn't happy, but she wasn't ready to leave because of financial reasons. Barbara struggled as a single parent for many years, raising children on her own. When she married her gay husband a number of years ago, she finally felt she had some financial security and something to offer her children if they needed her help. Although her kids were grown and had a life of their own, she felt that she wanted to be able to help them financially or leave something to them someday. That's why she was hanging in. When my grandmother was alive, she used to tell us that money, that all of the money in the world couldn't buy your help. Now that I'm in my early 50s and always facing some health issue, all of which started at 50, I understand only too well what she meant. I have seen the wealthiest people struck down by terrible diseases. All of their money doesn't change anything, and may make them more comfortable while they're going through their suffering by providing additional supports, such as nursing care and not worrying about bills, but it doesn't change the condition. Barbara's letter reminded me of those wise words that my grandmother used to tell us. Having financial security can never compensate for mental health. So many women are staying in destructive marriages because they're afraid they can't make it on their own financially. So they hang in, popping antidepressants to cope, or just wake up feeling that life is horrible every day. When Barbara would come to the support chat, all I told her is that someday she'll realize that no amount of money is worth living in a miserable situation. In the past few months, she's beginning to see this. The family finances have gone downhill, and now she's realizing that the only thing she really has in life is an emotionally abusive husband. No amount of money is worth waking up every day and feeling depressed. Barbara will someday make the move to save her sanity for the years ahead. You see, she wouldn't have ever come to me for help if she were happy. Women who write to me know that something's wrong. Almost all of them know that life is in a terrible place and space. But it takes time to figure out how all of it happened and how to move ahead. I have faith in these women because they're not looking to find ways to make something unworkable work. For those who are desperate enough to try to make something work that's unworkable, there are groups out there willing to give them support. Some women who write to me tell me they found those groups before they were able to find me. They tell me how women in these groups call me negative or angry. I admit that their accusations are true. I am negative when it comes to condoning abnormal situations. I am angry that women who are seeking sanity find these groups before me and have to spend more time wondering why they feel abnormal because they don't want to stay in a marriage that's doomed like these other women. The most important lesson I've learned in my life is that you can't buy back time no matter how much money you have. Time is precious. A recent presentation sent to me by my dear friend Vince put it in a wonderful perspective. I've sent each of you this link to the newsletter to remind you how precious time really is. I hope it moves you the way it did for me. This is a new year. It's a time for many of you to renew your journey to freedom. I will be there for you every step of the way. Never feel that you're alone in this mess. I am there and I care. Write to me anytime you need comfort or support. A new life free of the struggles you are living daily is within your reach. Start clicking those slippers. And that was the end of that one.
Wow, another great one.
Yeah, great. I have to say to myself, I'm really impressed that I wrote all this stuff for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I have to give myself a pat on the back.
Should, because it's wonderful stuff. And it still holds, it's classic. It still works for today.
I know, nothing really has changed, has it?
No. No, it's not changed at all.
Well, I think that we can leave our listeners on a really happy note for the upcoming year, Misty, that so many people's lives change every year for the better. And
absolutely.
I think about all of our women who, when this is happening to them and they just feel so struck into paralyzation and unhappiness, mm-hmm. It's certainly understandable, because certainly Misty and I understand it. We've been there. We've lived it.
Mm-hmm.
We've done it. But, you know, life does get better. And so many of the women, we say, if we only you could click your heels and be a year from now, you would see how much better you feel in life. And I've never had a woman yet tell me a year later, you were wrong, I don't feel any better. Because even though everything's never going to be perfect, at least you don't have to, like, you know, Jay and I say, close her book, Walking on Eggshells. At least you don't have to walk on eggshells, wondering every minute when you're going to be crushing them. And, you know, your life's going to be falling further into the dust there. So I think there's a lot to be said. You know, we were saying in our chat room tonight, and it's so true, that you can be alone and be less lonely than when you're living with someone who doesn't want to be with you.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you say that's true, Misty?
Absolutely. I was so lonely when I was married. It was such a lonely situation. And once I got divorced, I can honestly say, and the moment I find those papers, I've had no regret of getting divorced. The only regret I have, and this is so honest and being very true, is I didn't do it sooner. The only regret I have. That's it. I have no regrets. The only regret is not doing it sooner. And the marriage was terribly lonely. It was awful. It was horrible. You know, living with someone that doesn't want to be with you and doesn't love you, you know, the way that you should be loved as a husband and wife. It's a horrible feeling. And it's just the ultimate loneliness.
And
it's not easy.
You know, the men owe it to themselves also to do the right thing and have a decent life for themselves.
Absolutely.
You know, nobody has to go out there and have a, quote, gay lifestyle, whatever that means. You know, nobody's telling you have to go cruising, go to bars, but you just have to feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And about who you are. I mean, if you don't come to terms with yourself and who you are and what your sexuality is, then you're never going to find the peace of mind that you deserve either.
Right.
I mean, it's something that men have a choice in. You know, they're gay. They didn't choose to be gay. They are gay. They were born gay. You know, gay doesn't develop out of any kind of problem. I mean, gay is gay. It's a genetic disposition that you have no choice in. So it's a matter that you need to embrace your own life, figure out, you know, how you're going to work it from here. But staying in a marriage that's not working for you, that doesn't make any sense.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, I would just like to plug, you know, the books that I had come out this year, the one I'm very proud of, Over the Cliff, Gay Husbands and Straight Marriages, really primarily written by Doug Dittmer. And, you know, I just helped on the women's end of putting in our points of view and the grieving process for women so men could understand it. But that was a wonderful book, you know, if you haven't gotten it yet, to understand the thinking of gay men, why they do get married, you know, what they're thinking when they get married, what they're thinking after they get married. And it really, like I say, gives an outlook for women to understand so that while they're going through this, they see what their husbands are going through. And once again, it's not to defend anybody or to knock anybody. It's just to bring a better understanding to all of us. So you can go to BonnieKBooks.com or go on my website of GayHusbands.com and go to Bonnie's Books, and you'll find that book there, Over the Cliff by Doug Dittmer and me. And he did a wonderful job, Doug, in getting these men together to tell their stories, 17 different men all together who were married, or some who are still married, tell their stories. And it's really, like I say, a book that will give you insight that you've never had before. So, Misty, we've come to the end of another show, and let's leave it on a positive spin. I'll leave yours on a positive spin, Misty. I don't mean to put you on the spot in front of all these listeners, but
no.
Are you making me something for the holidays?
Of course I am.
I just didn't want to forget. Yeah. Now I have you on record that you're going to be
you're
doing
on, you're on I'm on record, so I better get with the program, right? I have not started yet, but yes, it is on my agenda. There will be cookies in the future. Cookies.
All
I
right.
think cookies
only have a week together.
I know. And sugar cookies that are my special sugar cookies. So they're much better than any other sugar cookie you would ever find.
Well, I'm
so.
Going to be waiting for that, Misty. And I want to wish everybody a wonderful week and a wonderful holiday. If you do need support, get in touch with me at bonk@aol.com. Join my chat for next Sunday night. It's a Christmas holiday chat. I will be online for anyone who does need support on that special night. I know some people will be needing it, and even if you never come back again, if you just need it for that night, it's no problem. And Misty, I want to wish you the happiest, healthiest upcoming year ever.
Thank you, and you as well.
Thank you. We deserve it, right?
We do, because we deserve it.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's like telling you women, we do deserve the best. All right. Well, I love you, Misty.
And I love you, Bonnie. And you will have cookies in your very soon future, very near future.
All right, good. And I look forward to talking to all of you again soon. Have a wonderful holiday next week.
Yes.
And we will be back for the new year. Good
Absolutely.
Night.
Good night, and love to all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.